This is the fifth Sunday that we have been in this chapter, and we will be here for five more weeks after today. I appreciate so much you praying for me over this series. We began the second tablet, the Ten Commandments. First tablet had to do with a vertical relationship, our relationship to our Heavenly Father. The second tablet has to do with a horizontal relationship, how we deal with our fellow man. Jesus made this statement. He said, "The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind." You can say that first commandment has to do with the first tablet. But then he says the second great commandment is to love your neighbor. And that is the second tablet. And somebody says, well, who is a neighbor? It's basically any other human. And so today we begin number five in the total, but the first of our relationship with other humans. This commandment is a bridge. You say, what do you mean a bridge? Well, all of us have seen probably the picture of how that you have man over here and you have God over here, and there is a cross that's in the middle, and that's how people walk from here to here so that they are reconciled with God. Well, this commandment also is a bridge. And it has to do with the way that we think about and treat our Heavenly Father, because the way that we treat our earthly parents is a reflection of our attitude toward our Heavenly Father. And so it is a bridge that is something that you need to be aware of, something that ought to always be in the forefront of your mind, because the way that you treat a parent carries with it an attitude that you can carry toward God. Now today I'm going to say some things that may be a little bit hard. Some of you have come from situations, families, and dysfunctional would be a simplicity to it. Some of you have come from horrific backgrounds. And when I get to the end of this, I'm going to talk a little bit about dealing with those types of backgrounds. And so I want us to just remember some things this morning. I want you to remember that families come in a lot of different flavors. If you look at the picture in the presentation this morning, you'll see some young people, and you'll see a baby, and you'll see a little girl, and you'll see probably your grandfather, and you see a newborn baby, and then you see a really old person in the right-hand top corner. Parents come in all ages. Now, when you're young, that's a great time to have kids, and not when you're old. Can I get an amen right there? Amen. I know when my grandkids, when all three of them are at the house, you know, when finally they're gone, it's like, whew. One of the funny poems that I was told about. I preached a couple of years ago on a Wednesday night about Grandma Naomi. And afterward, Miss Marge Wynn said, we call him Brother Bill, but she calls him William. William and I went to a convention. And at that convention, General Colin Powell was the keynote speaker, and he closed his talk with this. And she said, it's simple to remember, and I've never forgotten it. It says this: I've seen the lights of Paris, and I've seen the lights of Rome, but I've never seen anything quite as glorious as the taillights of the grandkids going home. All right? Young people are the ones that need the kids. All right? But can I tell you there are times when that doesn't work out? And sometimes grandparents have to take up the responsibility. And so today, I want you to understand that at various stages of our lives, there are certain things that can happen and certain things that the Lord allows to happen so that you and I can do right. And if we'll do right by other people like our parents, grandparents, the law of sowing and reaping can come into play. And when you're old, you young people, when you're old, if you have sown right, you can reap right. And so I want us to look at three questions this morning. What does honoring mean? Look with me at chapter 20, and I want you to look with me at verse 12. It simply says this: honor thy father and thy mother. Now I realize that there are certain circumstances where there's only a mother involved. There may be a few rare situations where there's only a father involved. It may be, when I say rare, I'm talking about for smaller children, because in the majority of cases, the mother would get those if there was a divorce, something along that line. But it may be that when you're dealing with a honoring of a father or a mother, it could be an aged parent. It may be one that has age on them. And so the honoring doesn't have anything to do with the age. In other words, once they hit 80, you're done with the honoring. No, that's not what the scripture tells us. It's a blanket statement that says, honor thy father and thy mother. When you look at your text, and I, and some of you may be guests today and you may be reading a different translation, there's not going to be an exception clause in your translation either. There's not one in our King James. There is no exception to that command. Honor thy father and thy mother. Now, what is an honoring? Well, it means to give weight, to give importance, to make significant. It is the absolute opposite of what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, talking about taking God's name in vain, to speak profanely, to speak irreverently. We do not do that for our parents either. We make sure that they know that there is a respect for them. I've known of situations where people would say something like this: well, my old lady does this. My old man does this. And sometimes they're referencing a spouse. Sometimes they're referencing a parent. Can I tell you that God's not happy with that? When you speak, there ought to be reverence. There ought to be compassion. There ought to be love when you're dealing with a parent. And so, to honor, it simply means this: to provide food, to provide drink. Now, that doesn't mean you go buy them a fifth of Jack Daniels. The drink means that you give them a beverage. It can be, in our day, it could be sweet tea. It could be lemonade. It could be just plain old water. But you make sure that they are cared for with their food and their liquids. I tell you something else you ought to be aware of. Some of you older people can attest to this. When you get older, you get colder. And if you are a child and you've got a parent, you need to realize that you ought to make sure they are clothed well. You ought to make sure that they have covers at night. It'd be a horrible thing to be an elderly person and not be able to move around when you got cold. One of the absolute worst nights of my life was down near Macon, Georgia on Lake Tobosoffke. I had a couple of uncles and they liked to fish at night. And they were like, hey, you want to hang out? And I had a cousin that was going to be there, and it's like, yeah, that'd be great. And I was like, I don't have a sleeping bag. We got a furniture pad. And that night, the temperature dropped. And I'm 14 years old. And I'm thinking, I'm freezing to death. I'd get up, and I'd go outside of the tent, and I'd stoke the fire a little bit, and I'd turn around like a rotisserie. And I'd get warm enough to go back inside and try to curl up with that furniture pad. If I hadn't have been 14 years old, I'd have gotten a sleeping bag with my daddy. But I'm 14, and I'm thinking I'm close to being a man. You can't be sleeping with your parents. You know? Now, I know I used to be kidded about this, that, you know, sometimes I'd, you know, jump into bed and get all snuggled up, but when I got my driver's license, I had to quit. That was a little exaggeration. But the point of the matter is, when you get older, you get cold like I was at Lake Tobosoffke. And so, if you're a child, you honor by making sure that their necessities are taken care of. Can I tell you something else? According to Jewish tradition, you don't just provide food and drink. You don't just provide cover and clothing. You also provide taking them in and out. What does that mean? That means if your mama's on a walker, you walk slowly and you help her get in and out of your vehicle. You don't look at her and go, come on, old woman, we got to go. You don't do that. Oh no. She is the person that gave you birth. For that reason alone, there ought to be honor. And so, we are to provide for them. When you begin to look at passage after passage, it's a very, very, very biblical principle. We honor our parents. Let me give you a second question. What are the consequences of dishonoring? You say, there's consequences? Oh, absolutely. Look with me at our text. Look at verse number 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. There is a connection to God allowing the Jewish people to live in the promised land, and it's directly tied to how they treat their parents. Now, how did they do that? Well, when they were in the land, evidently they were doing it well. But do you know there was a time in the history of the nation of Israel when they began to disrespect parents? And when they disrespected their parents, they began to disrespect and dishonor God. And the next thing you know, in 722 BC, the Assyrians came in and they took the top 10 tribes known as Northern Israel. They took Israel. In 586 BC, the southern part, which had two tribes in it, you had the tribe of Judah and you had the tribe of Benjamin. And the Babylonians came in and confiscated them and took people like Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, took them off into captivity. Part of their sinning had to do with the way that they treated their mama and daddy. And so God takes this business seriously about honoring. If you're not respecting, get ready. The stroke of God may come upon you. You say, what's the stroke of God? The stroke of God is when God takes his metaphorical hand and gives you a discipline. It may be that when the stroke of God comes, it's because of the way that you have treated your parents. And all of a sudden you're thinking, why is everything going wrong in my life? Maybe it has to do with the fact that you are disrespecting, you are rebelling against your parents. And so God takes it serious. How serious? Well, we see about the fact that if you're going to disrespect your parents, I'll take you out of the land. But there's also something a little more severe. And I know that some young people, they're like, man, praise God, I don't live in Old Testament times. Look one chapter forward. Look to chapter 21. Look at verse number 15. And he that smiteth his father or his mother. Have you ever known of somebody that struck their parent? You've probably heard of people like that. Can I tell you that is foreign and has never even been in my mind? To raise my hand against one of my parents? Have they done things to irritate me? Yeah. They irritated me a lot when I was a teenager. No, you can't do that. I want you to do this. And I'm like, some old people know. You know, they're 40 years old and I'm thinking they're old. All right? Do they aggravate? Sometimes. But you got to remember this. Maybe they're not as dumb as you think. Maybe they've got a little life experience, and maybe they walk that road a little bit, and they know that it's trouble. And so, these people, evidently, they had somebody, or at least Moses was giving them a warning. He said that if you smite your father or your mother, you shall surely be put to death. That means that if you raised your hand and you slapped in an angry way at your mama or your daddy, the elders of that tribe, they take you outside the camp. They may have to tie you, but they take you outside of that camp and they begin to take stones. I'm not talking about quarter-sized stones. I'm talking about stones that are probably big as a softball or a grapefruit. Maybe even one that would be the size of a volleyball. And they began to pummel you with those rocks until you are dead. As Jerry Clower would say, you graveyard dead. Right? Look at verse 17. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Have you ever heard of anybody cursing their parents? Oh, yeah. I've heard that since I've been grown. That's not just something that kids do. I've known of grown people, and they have uttered cursings against their aged parents. They're a bother. They're a nuisance. Wish they weren't even around. And so, does God take it serious? I think he probably does. Not only does the Old Testament drive this home, but in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. I don't know if they can put that up on the board or not and then come back to this. But in Ephesians chapter 6, it says this: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, that thy days may be long upon the earth. There is a promise that goes in to that. So if we obey, and it says children, and whenever it says children in Ephesians, I think that it's talking about young people. I'll mention this again in the end of the message. But children must obey. But when you get out from your parents' home, you do not have to obey. But you still have to honor. There is no exception to the honor. You must honor. No matter the situation, you must honor. Now, you do not have to obey. Absolute obedience is not mandatory from the Scripture, I don't believe. God does not expect you to do something sinful if your authority tells you to do it. Are we to obey the government? Absolutely. Romans chapter 13. What did Peter say? We ought to obey God rather than man. God is our ultimate authority, but then underneath that, we have governments. But our first authority, when we are birthed into this world, is a mother and father. They are our authority. And when we begin to dishonor, what are we doing? We're basically shortening our lives. I love it whenever I meet someone that's when I say elderly, I'm talking about a long way from 63. Okay? Now, some of these young people, they look at me and they go, oh yeah, he's old. But I do the same thing to some of our aged people. And every time I see somebody that's maybe in their 80s or their 90s, you know what my first thought is? They must have loved their mom and daddy. You know why? Because that's the promise. God told them, said, if you'll honor your parents, I'm going to let you live in this land of milk and honey. I'm going to let you live here a long time. New Testament, if you will obey your parents, you can live long on the earth. There comes a time when the obeying kind of falls by the wayside when you get on your own. Now somebody says, well, I'm 17 years old. I'm my own man. Really? You buy your own groceries? You provide the house that you're living in? You pay your car note? You buy your own clothes? Well, no, my mom and dad do that, but I'm my own man. No, you're not. You're being taken care of. And when you're being taken care of, you do what the boss says. Somebody says, I follow the golden rule. Yeah, and everybody else does. He who has the gold rules. Okay? And so, if the parents are paying, you obey. I mean, I've had people say things like this, and not recently, but a long time ago when I was dealing with young people a lot. They would say, well, I got these friends coming over to my house. And I looked at them, I said, when did you buy a house? I wanted to drive this point home to them. And they said, well, I didn't. And I said, but you just said you're inviting people to come over to your house. Well, yeah, I mean, I live over at such and such. No, that's your mom and daddy's house. They're the ones that bought that house. But it's my house. No, it's not. It's your mom and daddy's house. Now, they may let you live there, but the bottom line is it really don't belong to you. Now, one day it may belong to you. One day they may just say, I'm going to give this to you. And that's great. But the point is, if you're not paying, listen to your parents. Honor them. respect them, and when you're small, you obey them. And so there is another. We can go back to our slide now. What are the consequences of dishonoring? Number two. Number three, what does Jesus have to say about it? I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 15. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 15. In chapter 15, it's also referenced in Mark chapter 7. There's something that takes place in the first part of this chapter. Then came Jesus, or came to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." In other words, you've got all of these traditions that have been passed down through the centuries. They have been passed down orally. In other words, mouth to mouth. Somebody would say it, a younger person would take that, and they would run with it, and when they got older, they would share it with a young person, and it would just go down through the generations. And they had begun to develop these traditions that were offshoots of the Mosaic Law. That's where you have the Jewish writing. I think it's called the Talmud. I think that's the oral tradition that's been written down now. And so they come to him and they say, "Why don't your disciples wash their hands when they eat bread?" Well, that was one of their traditions. Jesus does not answer that question, but he confronts them with something else that's even worse. All right? Look with me at verse 3. "But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress or disobey the commandment of God by your tradition?" In other words, they have another tradition, and he said, that tradition transgresses the law of God. And what is that? "For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death." What's the death? Stoning. "But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me." What was taking place was this. One of their traditions, they would take money that should have been designated for a priority such as a parent. But they were not taking care of their parents. They were not giving them food and drink. They were not giving them clothes and cover. They were not giving them the respect. And these people are suffering. These aged people are suffering. And let me tell you what these guys are doing. They got money, okay? These guys are in the religious center. They're in Jerusalem. These guys are the scribes and the Pharisees. In other words, they're like the governmental body for Jewish people. Now, let me ask you a question. In our government, do you think that we have congressmen and senators that are poor? Oh, no. It's amazing how that they can go in poor as Job's turkey and they come out multimillionaires. Somebody goes, "Well, I think that he's just one of us. He hadn't been one of you in 30 years. All right? You don't spend $15 million on a senatorial campaign for a $250,000 a year job. Amen. All right? These guys are the top 70. 7-0. They're known as the Sanhedrin, or the Sanhedrin for some people. And these guys are wealthy. You know, it would seem like if you got some money, you'd at least take care of your mama. I mean, you would think that. Oh, but these guys, they were hoarding it to themselves, and they would say, it is a gift. You know what that is? The Hebrew, or the Greek word there is the word korban. C-O-R-B-A-N. That's the way that we would spell it in English. Korban. And that word korban means a gift to God. In other words, I'm sorry, Dad, I can't buy you any barley or wheat today to make bread. This money is separated for God. You know I believe in tithing. I talk about giving. I talk about giving generously, and everybody ought to tithe. But I'm going to tell you something. If your mom and daddy hadn't got any food, I think you ought to take care of them. If that's all you've got. Now, I'll be honest with you, I think that if you tithe and you're honest, I think that God will provide for all your needs. But if it came down to a choice about feeding your mama or your father, I don't know that God would hold that against you to not give at the Lord's house. Now, if you'll structure your life right, you ought to be able to do all of it. Because God can take 90% and make it go farther than 100%. You say, that doesn't make any sense mathematically. God doesn't always make sense mathematically. But you can't outgive God. But these guys were taking money that they could have used to take care of their infirmed parents. And they were saying, this is a gift for God. We can't use that on you. You're just going to have to be hungry. And so, Jesus looked at them and he said, after you have done this with your tradition and you say it's a gift and you're profited, and it says, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. In other words, if we say it's for God, it's okay, you're off the hook. Thus you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. In other words, he blasted them. So what did he do? He affirmed the fifth commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land. And so, when you begin to look at our passage and it says honor, and I talked about the bridge and how that connects us. Do you know one of the old Baptist catechisms says this? Go back about 300-400 years. Catechisms were a big deal in religious circles. And the Baptist even had a couple of them. And in that old Baptist catechism, it talked about how that when we honored our parents for a testimony's sake, we were supposed to honor those in authority, such as the state and the church. You say, you mean you think you can build that far out? Absolutely. Because the way that we treat our parents is the way that we treat other authorities. I believe this. I believe that we are commanded to pray for those that are in authority over us, and we ought to be respectful. All right? It wasn't that long ago I got pulled over by a policeman. He didn't give me a ticket, all right? He was nice. But here he is, he's probably about 30. And do you know, I have this thing, and by the way, you young people ought to listen to this when you get pulled over, especially at night, all right? My dad was a policeman, so he told me, he said, you need to make sure you're not doing nothing herky-jerky at night. He said, you turn that light on the interior of your vehicle and you roll that window down and you put both your hands on that steering wheel. And if you'll do that, it'll keep you from getting shot at night. All right? Because 99.9 of the police officers that are out there are good people. Good people. Now, you may have, just like you got bozos in the ministry, you may have some that get in a police department, and as soon as they're found out, they ought to be bounced. But I got pulled over, rolled my window down, put my hands on the steering wheel. He comes up, he sees my hands, and he begins to talk. Now, this guy's 30 years younger than me. And he asked me a question. Do you have a driver's license? Yes, sir. Do you know why I stopped you? No, sir. You got a taillight out. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. I said, but I'll get it fixed. He said, all right, I'm going to give you a warning. I said, thank you, sir. You say, do you call people sir, ma'am, and all that? I do. I do. Why? I'm about 12 years old. Let's go back in time. I got into a habit of talking to grown people, and I'd say, yeah, no, yeah, I'll do that. And one day my dad, he looked at me and he said, Dooley, I'm going to tell you this one time. He said, I don't ever want to hear you say yeah and no to anybody that's older than you. You say yes, ma'am, yes, sir, no, ma'am, no, sir. And he said, if I hear you say yeah or no without a sir on it, me and you going to have a problem. Well, I'd had a problem two or three times in my life. And I didn't need any more problems. All right? All right? From that day forward, it's been a habit of mine. I've had some of you tell me, don't call me sir. It's innate. It just comes out. You know, now, there's times whenever I go, yeah, that's good. No, no, no. But anytime I mean, if there's somebody that I don't know, it's a yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And people feel like that when you say that, it makes them older. But I'm just doing it as a term of respect. We've got a few teachers here. We got some in our church that have gone to school and they're teachers. They teach at various places. One of the biggest problems that teachers have today is parents that want to jump on them. Let's flash back to my elementary school years and my junior high school years. Now, you're about to start a new school year, and I just want to make sure you remember from last year. If you get in trouble at school and that teacher sends a note home or calls us, you got trouble when you get home. Some of you ever have a conversation like that? Nowadays, the teachers have to worry about getting sued. Well, my little Johnny wouldn't do that. My parents' philosophy was, my Tommy would do any of it. All right. I'm taking the teacher's side until I find out that the teacher's not what he or she ought to be. I'm not just assuming that my little angel is truly a good angel. You know, sometimes parents are deceived about that kind of stuff. And so Jesus basically blasted them. And then that old Baptist confession, it says, family, state, church. There's a beautiful passage over in Leviticus. I think it's chapter 19. And I'm having to do this from just a few hand scratch notes here because the printer didn't print again, right? But I think it's Leviticus chapter 19, maybe around verse 11. It says that when the hoary head walks into the room, you say, what's a hoary head? The old white-headed people. All right? Matter of fact, I was walking to some of the Sunday school classes today. There's a bunch of you got white hair.
I was thinking about that whenever I read this passage this week. A lot of you got white hair, and a lot of you like me, we don't have no hair. When the hoary head walks into a room, you rise. Why? It's respect. It's to give honor. You say, that old man can't help me out. Oh, contraire. You'd be amazed how much you can learn from an old whitehead person. Years ago, my grandmother was still living on my mama's side. And I took Deb down there, and me and the kids, we went fishing. And Deb doesn't really care about fishing. And so she's there at the house, and she's with my 90-something-year-old grandmother. On the way home, she said, did you know this? Did you know that? And I'm going, I never heard that. Well, that's what your grandmother was sharing with me. I'm thinking, she knows things about my family I don't even know. Older people have got a wealth of wisdom. And if you've got any sense, young people, and I'm talking about putting myself in that category, you ought to listen to them. You ought to learn from them. It is a way to respect and honor. It is a way to give them weight, to give them esteem. Now let me close with three little things here. A commandment is what we have in Exodus 20, not a suggestion. You don't have the option of going, well, I don't mind the first four, but I don't like this fifth one. I just think I'm going to get rid of that. This isn't a cafeteria. All right? Well, I think I want some rice and gravy, and I think I want some green beans, but I just don't think I want them sweet potatoes. No, it's not like that, right? No, it is a command, not a suggestion. We can't take it or leave it. Obedience may end, but honoring does not. When my dad was alive, and I would go visit, I spoke to him reverently. I was not scared of him at all, but it was just a respectful tone. You know, we'd laugh together, you know, and I'd hear, you know, funny stories and that kind of stuff. But if he looked at me and he said, I want you to go down to the store and I want you to buy a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk, I'd have said, yes, sir. What do you mean? You mean you want me to burn my gas to go 5 miles to Collins? Go into the Dollar General and get a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk? You want me to spend my money to do that? But yet some people would say something like that to a parent. You know what I'd have done? I'd have said, yes, sir, is there anything else you want? Would you like some sardines or Vienna sausage while I'm there? All right. And I'd go and I would get the bread and I would get the milk, and he would say, let me give you some money. No, Daddy, I don't want your money. I don't want your money. You know, let me just do this for you. It would not be a big deal. Did I have to do that? Not from obedience standpoint. Oh, but I needed to do that for honoring and respecting and sowing. And so obedience may end when you get a little age on you and out on your own, but the honoring never does. Now let me mention this. Honoring includes horrible parents. Horrible parents. You've got people that are some of the worst human beings, and they have wonderful kids. I can't tell you the number of times over the years when we've had a bus captain. I'll tell you something from a long time ago. We had a bus captain came in, and basically what had happened was the mother and father had been on a binge the night before. The father was laid over in one part of a living room, and the mother was laying on the couch, half dressed. They wouldn't even get up and grunt when the bus captain got there to pick the kids up. The bus captain literally went into the house, helped the kids get dressed, and got them and put them on the bus. And the parents didn't even know that they really were gone. And some of the greatest kids in the world have some of the lousiest parents in the world. But there's not an exception clause. You say, my parents treated me so bad, I'll never forgive them. Then you are the one that's going to get hurt. Forgiveness is something that you and I should be all about. Now you think with me about this. There's a passage of scripture, and Jesus told this story. He said, there was a man that owed a king a vast sum of money. I mean, let's just say something like this. You owed the king, let's just say $50 million. And that king says, I want you to take him and I want you to put him in prison. Take his wife, take his kids, put him in prison because he couldn't pay me the debt. And the man begs and says, oh, please, give me some more time. I'll pay you everything. He doesn't have a prayer paying back that kind of money. But because he begged and because he pleaded, the king took compassion on him. And he said, you know what? I'm going to forgive you of the whole debt. That same man that had been forgiven of millions, he went out and he found somebody that owed him money. How much did he owe him? He owed him a few denariuses, probably less than a week's wage, all right? Let's just say in our day, you know, this guy, if somebody makes 500 bucks a week, let's just say this guy owed him 500 bucks. And he said, pay me my $500 after he grabbed him. And the guy goes, I don't have it, but I will pay you everything. And he says, no, you're going to prison. And he gets ready to ship this guy off. He doesn't have compassion at all. Not even a little bit. The king hears about it. He calls him back in and he said, I had great compassion on you. And now you're doing this to this man who only owed you a little bit? You think about your own life and how much Jesus forgave you. All of the sin that had been piled upon each other over the years. And God took that sin and nailed it to the cross. And you can't have even a little bit of forgiveness in your own heart, even for a sorry, good-for-nothing parent? It's going to hurt you. You say, my parents were bad. Then you simply honor them by not talking bad about them. Don't carry their name in vain. Don't basically profane them. You find something halfway decent and try to say that, or don't say anything at all. But you're the one that's got to forgive. Because if you do not, it's going to be something that eats at you. And I've known of people, and they've carried things around inside because they would not give forgiveness. They've carried things literally for decades. And they've never gotten victory in their Christian life because they won't let that go. You got to let it go. Some of you have heard of Grimm's fairy tales. And you can find variations of this story in a lot of different places. Just this week, I've read four different places that have a version of this story. But Grimm's, I guess, was probably over maybe 100, 150 years ago whenever those were being compiled. One particular story is very striking that kind of goes along with what I'm preaching about today. There was a young man and his wife, and they had been married for a few years. They're still considered to be young by a long shot. And he had an aged father. His mother had already passed. And the aged father could no longer take care of his place, and so he had to move in with his son. The daughter-in-law did not like that. She didn't like having to cook for an extra mouth. She didn't like to have extra linens that she had to keep clean and dry. The old man began to experience some health issues. And when he would eat, he would shake, and he would drop his food all over the plate and all over the table and on the floor. And she would scream at him, "You make a mess constantly." And finally one day when she had it up as far as she thought she could take it, he spilled something again. And she said, "That's it. From now on, you sit in the corner and that's where you'll have your meals." No longer did he have a plate. Now she gave him a wooden bowl with a spoon. He couldn't sit with the family. He's sitting in a corner. And as he's shaking, and old age is coming faster and faster, one day as he's trying to eat whatever he had, maybe some porridge or beans, whatever it was, the bowl dropped and it broke in half. And she screamed at him again, "It doesn't matter what we do for you. You just make a mess. From now on, you will eat out of a pig trough." And she brought a pig trough in the house. And she would dump his food, didn't even give him a utensil to eat with. And the old man had to do the best he could, literally trying to eat from a pig trough. Wasn't too many days past that. That little 4-year-old boy that they had was sitting in the floor one evening by the fire. And he had some wood, blocks of wood. And he was putting them together. And the father looked at him and said, "Son, what are you building tonight?" He said, "Oh, Father, I'm building a pig trough so that when I'm big, you and mother will have something to eat out of." And his father was smitten because he knew what he had been teaching his son. What are we teaching our kids by the way that we treat our parents? When you're a parent, you may look at it and think, "I'll never get old." But the truth of the matter is, we all get old. If you don't die, you get old. But those kids, the way that they treat you is going to be how they're treated. And you and I, we need to make sure that we're honoring God by obeying the fifth commandment, honoring our parents, even when they don't deserve it. And that's tough. But God's grace will help you do that. Let's stand.